it will be done away. Praise God for his blessing today. Pastor Brian and Tori, please come and share with us. I just want to say I am so appreciative of the Maley family for moving here. Was it 2 years ago or three now? 2 years, isn't it?
I don't know.
But they, 5, 10.
Are we judging by the length of winter?
Yeah. Seems like forever. I'm just so appreciative of how they've helped me personally, and I believe and can see how they've blessed our church with their ministry among us. So I'm just so thankful for Brian and Tori and their family, and I've just been looking forward to hearing their testimony to us here today. So God bless us.
Thanks, Pastor Scott. I got to adjust this for my wife. She's vertically challenged. Really down there, talking out of my belly into that. So as Tori and I talked, she kept saying, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say? I said, I don't know. She's like, what are you going to say? And I brought home what I thought I was going to say. And she said, that's not enough. I had like 5 lines. And each line had like 3 words in it. She said, no, you have to write something out because you get off on a tangent and it's not good. And so I wrote it out as much as I could. And she said, okay, well, that's what you wrote out. What am I supposed to say? I'm like, oh, listen, I've been married 22 years. I'm not telling you what to say. And I said, you're just going to have to kind of go with the flow. She's like, oh, so I don't have to write anything out? I guess not.
Look, I have no notes.
And so I'm like, okay, how far do we go? How much in depth do we go? But I kind of want to preface this whole talk with 2 things. What we've been through sucks. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but look where God has us now. God's in control, and I don't want Tori and I glorified because, oh, we made it. I want God glorified because we made it. And the second thing is the whole tangent thing. So I'm used to Tori always sitting to my side when I speak. For almost 10 years now, she's always sat to where I can see her. And when I get off on a tangent, I try not to look at her because I know what she's going to do. And she's always kind of, she'll be like, or she'll be like, or she'll give me a look. I don't have that look now, so... Yeah, it's like a fly. So, you know, who knows? But we decided that we're not gonna go into a lot of depth. Most of our kids, I think, knows most everything that we've been through. We've tried to be open with them so that they kind of learn from what our mistakes were and where we come from. And we have some pretty intelligent kids. That comes from Tori. They can do basic math and subtraction when some of these things that they have to kind of figure out on their own. Braden, however, wasn't as quick as Camden and Aubrey, and I'll never forget when he finally figured it out. I have a sign up on the wall that has established in 1999, and you guys will know what I'm talking about here in a minute. But he's like, I was born in 99. And Camden, or either Camden or Aubrey, one of them said, duh. You know, I love him dearly, but he wasn't the quickest when it came to math. But for me, and you guys have mostly heard my testimony, I have not went into great depth a lot of it, what it is. I just don't think it needs to be said. But I did not grow up in a Christian home by any means. Not even close. The closest thing that I had to a Christian home was my mom was good friends with a lady who drove a van for a Nazarene church for Sunday school. And that woman came and picked me, my sister and I, up, and we went to Sunday school, and I don't have a clue what we talked about. I was there for the snacks. And it was a way to get away from home. Now, when I say this, my home life wasn't horrible. If it had to do with sports, I had the most support that I ever got in my entire life. My dad would take off work. He'd make sure he was there. My mom was there, making sure that we were taken care of. As far as a spiritual, emotional support, I had nothing. It just wasn't there. My mom raised us. My dad was out golfing or bowling or working or having an affair. And it kind of all took place together. The alcohol played a huge part into my life growing up. Not for me personally, but I was around that. The thing that I remember most and has kind of kept me away from alcohol is one night I remember my dad coming up and opening up my window in my bedroom, and we lived in a square house. I mean, there was no porches or anything. It was just straight up.
I'm beside
you. Better move over.
I think it's up to you.
And he was shooting at a truck that was driving around our yard because they were all drunk and they got in a fight. That was kind of like, I don't need it. That's how it was. Now, I say that because God brought me through all that for a reason. No, I didn't have a Christian home. I didn't have God at my house. I didn't really truly know, hear anything about God until I came here in 1997. You know, my brother-in-law, who Dave Swenson, most of you know him, he talked a little bit about it, but I'm just like, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about. And so that's kind of how I was. If it was sports, I was gold. If it was something else, nothing. The town that I grew up in, you know, you guys think athletes are really popular here or whatever. I've heard different things. Listen, if you were an athlete in the town that I came from, you could almost get away with murder. I'm not kidding you. I was in certain classes with certain teachers, and I used to say that they were athletic supporters. And then I'm like, that doesn't sound right, because that's a jock strap. But if you were an athlete, you were in their classes. And that's how I got through school. I had my freshman year, a coach came to me and said, you failed algebra, but I'm going to pass you so you can go ahead and play sports. That's how my high school career went. And I remember we were building a treehouse at my parents' woods, and two of the kids decided that they were going to go to the local Scott store that was being built. It's a grocery store. And pick up some plywood at 12 o'clock at night. They were in their letter jackets. Now, our colors were maroon and gold. Our letter jackets were leather gold. They reflect a lot in the light. They got caught by the police. Go on. That's how it went. And so I didn't have a lot of discipline. I didn't end up in jail. I should have, but I didn't. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. I was angry. And when I went out on the football field, it was my goal to put somebody in the EMS. And I did it a lot. I didn't care how. But I was an angry person. And then I met Tori. And it's weird because I can tell you what she was wearing the day I met her and what she was eating and what she looked like. And she's like, you're weird. And so with that, I'm going to let her give a little bit of what her testimony is.
So I kind of grew up in a good moral home, and my parents went to church up until I was about seven. At age seven, my parents divorced. My dad was an alcoholic who beat my mom, and I would wait up at 3 a.m. to make sure my mom was still alive because I was afraid for her life. So I vowed when I was little that I would never marry anyone who would drink, because it really puts you and your children in a very bad situation. So that's where I kind of came from. My parents are great people. They say they believe, and I do have a praise. My dad has since come clean. He does not drink, and that happened, oh boy.
It's Cam's birthday.
Maybe about 10 or so years ago, and it was the first time I felt I could go there with my children and feel safe that he wasn't going to drink and do something. Not that he ever hurt me or anything, per se, or my kids, but it relaxed me. Oops, sorry. So that was a big turning point in my life. So I started going to church with a boyfriend in high school.
Not me.
No, well, it's not him.
I'm way better looking.
Yes.
Well, that took a lot.
broke up, and I enjoyed going to church. I did. And so I found another friend, a group of friends, that went to a local youth group, and so I would drive myself to youth group. And one of the ladies at youth group invited me to her home to have Bible study with her. And she took time out of her schedule. She worked full-time, had three young children. The two youngest, I still remember, she would be giving them baths. Like, she would put them up in the tub. They would play while we kind of did Bible study, so we didn't get interrupted all the time, which I look back, I'm like, that was brilliant, really. But she took time out of her schedule. She showed I was important to her, and that meant a lot. And it was in that year that I came to know Jesus as my Savior. I still remember it. It was at church and the altar call, and oh, my word, my heart was going 100 miles an hour. I'm like, oh, my word, he is talking to me. I got to go. I can't just sit here. And that was a day that changed my life. I preface that to say, then I went to college, and I went to a Christian college, and I felt the Lord. I got to add this because this is really ironic. I felt the Lord wanted me to be a missionary, and that scared the bejeebers out of me. I was fresh, like, I wasn't even saved 2 years, and I saw overseas missions, which excited me but scared the bejeebers out of me, too, and I thought, I'm done. I'm running, and that's what I did. I ran from the Lord and met up with Brian, and it was, yeah, at the same time, it was the summer after my first year of college. I'd never been in trouble, and my mom was like, you need to be home by 10 p.m., and I said, what? Like, I was the national dean's list. I need to be home at 10, and I said, I'm leaving. I'm moving out, and that's where we started to go downhill in my walk with the Lord, because I chose to run instead of trust, and then I look and I see, here I am, here we are, as missionaries. Truly ironic. So.
Yeah, when Tori and I met, it was our freshman year, and I say we dated. We dated for like a week.
I think it was 2 weeks.
We were boyfriend and girlfriend. Hey, I'll take that. we were boyfriend and girlfriend for 2 weeks, and then she got with this other kid. What a loser. I'm kidding. He wasn't. Okay, yes, he was. And we didn't talk to each other the rest of our high school career. We ran in different circles. I was a jock. She tried, but she was too short.
I was a cheerleader.
You are a sexy cheerleader. But we just ran in different...
Not in the notes.
I haven't read a first thing in my notes yet. but she was. She still is. Look, she's my wife. I better think that. So we didn't talk to each other the rest of our high school career, not even close. I didn't really date a lot of people. It was like, whatever. I was too busy playing sports. That was my life. My parents had pumped into me that I was going to be a professional athlete, and I was going to go to a D1 school for football. And they were, like, I remember every year they would take me to a hotel that had a hot tub and a sauna just before our opening football game, so that I could get rested and get ready to go. Football was my life. I lifted weights 24/7. I had weightlifting records at our high school. I think at the time I was box squatting 750, or yeah, 750, and I was only benching 345. I say only because there was a kid smaller than me that benched more than that. It really irritated me. But that was what my life revolved around. It was all about, you know, if it was sports, they were taking me. They were looking into getting me an agent to be able to go to college. I got accepted to the University of Miami, and I had to be a walk-on the first year, but then they were going to try and give me a scholarship the next year. But two things played into that. I had two knee surgeries at that time, and it was $30,000 a year for tuition. I couldn't afford that. And then they said, if you go to the University of Miami, the team picture is up at the jail, because most of them are convicts. I tried to get in every military branch possible after all that. I was living with my sister and brother-in-law. My mom and dad had had a fight again. My dad had moved out. He moved back. Moved in with them. I couldn't even get into the military because of my knees. I felt like this. And then Tori and I got back together. And I told her, I said, I'm going to marry you. She's like, no, you're not. She said, yes, I am. Yes, I did. So we went along, and, you know, we got married in January of 99. June of 99, Braden was born. That's where the math comes in. She wanted out of her house. I wanted out of my house. And so we moved in together. Everything seemed, I thought, went well. I was getting what I wanted as a man. See, you knew what I was talking about.
Sorry.
as an ungodly man, I was getting what I wanted. And see, we moved in. We bought a house in Columbia City. We said we weren't going to have any kids there. But we had all three of our kids there. We built a brand new house. I still love the house. It was two-story with a full finished basement. It was on like 2.5 acres. It was everything I wanted. I had an apple orchard that I had planted. And Tori and I went to conference. Let me back up. I became a believer in November of 2000. I got to look at this. 2011. 2008. Believer of November 2008. Well, up to this point, I didn't know any different. I didn't know what it meant to be unequally yoked. Never heard that term. I didn't know what was scripturally. It wasn't until I was pastoring in Alto, Michigan, that I was talking to the camp cook about camp coming up, and she asked me what my story was. And I told her, and the next thing out of her mouth, she's like, "Oh, you were unequally yoked." What? What are you talking about? I had no clue what she was even talking about until I studied it. And it says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be mismatched with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and lawlessness share together? Or what does light have in common with darkness?" That hit hard. That hurt. Here I was all this time, I had no clue what it was. Here I was a pastor, and I didn't even know what unequally yoked was. So then I go back to our house. I loved that house. I told people, "I'm going to die in this house." It was our dream house. It was the most fun thing ever to design that house. We did it together. It's what we wanted. We designed it around Christmas. I had outlets put in the soffits on light switches for Christmas lights, and everything was for Christmas in that house. We went to conference, so I got saved in November of 2008. We had our first official church plant service in May of 2009 for Solid Rock. At that time, it was South Whitley Grace Brethren Church. In July, I went to conference, and Pastor Raymond Olinga was speaking. Some of you may not know who he is. He's in a wheelchair. And I'll never forget, Pastor Keith came to me. He's like, "You're a big guy. Can you help us lift him up on stage?" Okay. Lifted him up on stage, and as he was speaking, Tori and I looked at each other without talking, without saying anything. "We need to sell our house." We both said it together. That was really hard to take. I love that house. I still love that house. But I'm glad I don't have that house. So that night, Dave, for all of you who think Dave Swenson is this goody two-shoe, look. He's not. I don't like the heat. I think it's really hot in here right now. See, Joan's like, "I'm not going to listen." "Oh, no, you raised him. It's your fault." So it was wicked hot in Kentucky that year.
Like 100. I'm not joking. Hot.
Wicked hot. We had adjoining rooms so we could hang out. Another thing you never do with Dave Swenson. Annika, their daughter, she was just this little thing at the time, left her blanket or something in the room, so he went up there, and of course, I deserved it, because I'm a prankster anyways. But, so he goes in, he's like, "What a perfect opportunity." He cranks our heat. It got to like 300 degrees in there.
I couldn't even stay awake, it was so hot, seriously, I just fell asleep.
Horrible.
It was horrible.
I don't do well in heat. Look, you can put enough clothes on, you can't take enough off. So to their demise, I was in their room until midnight because it was so hot in ours. And we ordered pizza because what else do you do when you're up that late? We ordered pizza, and I'll never forget Jeff Dunham, you know, the ventriloquist. He was on TV, And I'm sitting there eating pizza, and I'm hearing him out of my ear. I'm kind of half listening to Tanya like I always do. And it just, like, clicked. It was like the Lord's, like, putting it on my heart, and like, you need to go into ministry. That's what you need to do. So the next day, because me, I jump 2 feet in. I don't stop and think about anything.
Amen.
I just go. If the Lord's calling, I go. That's what I do.
I don't know if it's always just the Lord calling.
That's what I think. But then the Lord tells my wife, I was just teasing. Don't let him do it. So I mark up, and Pastor Russ Simpson and Marvin Meeker are up front, and I go up to them like, I want to go into ministry. I want to go full-time ministry. Pastor Russ starts laughing at me. Okay, maybe I was just kidding. I didn't think I said anything funny. It was talking about the class that was coming up. It was hermeneutics. I guess it was supposed to be tough. It was, and I look back at it. So here I got saved in October of 2008, or November of 2008. Had a first church service in May. Went to conference in July. September, I started taking classes to be a pastor. Do you see anything that happened there or didn't happen? Matthew 28:19. It's up here, but I want you to turn to your Bible. Turn to your Bibles for me. Matthew 28:19. How many of you can recite this without even opening up your Bible? Several. In what context? I'll just read it. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What context have you heard that mostly at about? Yes. What's that? Missions. Anything else? Oh, by the way, you guys can ask questions if you have questions when we're doing this. What's that? Moses. Camden? Baptism. Up to this point of my life, that is all that this verse was used for. Baptism. This is how Grace Brethren baptizes. I went over to Myanmar twice and taught the Burmese about Matthew 28:19 and baptism. This part was never once taught to me. If it was, I overlooked it. For 8 to 9 years, I studied Scripture. I listened to brilliant men who have studied Scripture. I followed what those brilliant men told me Scripture said. For 8 to 9 years, I studied to be a Grace Brethren pastor, listening to what Grace Brethren men were teaching me. Never once did I study for Brian Maley. Never once did I study to be a father or a husband in a godly manner. Never once. And it wasn't until a month ago that I realized that. A month ago, I studied to be a pastor, and that's what I did. I left my family behind. I never was discipled to be a godly husband or a godly father. I'm not blaming the men that trained me. They trained me for what I came to them for. But I will tell you, if somebody comes to me and wants to be a pastor, I will not train them unless I know that they are discipled to be a godly father and a godly husband. I will not marry someone if I know for sure that that man is not going to be a godly father and a godly husband and what it means. And I don't care if it takes 3 years to go through it. Because 3 years compared to 22 years is worth it. I don't know what that is, but it's a very pleasing tone. So I wasn't disciple. Do you want to add anything up to this point?
I will just add, so I never told Brian until after he told Dave and Tanya that he thought he wanted to go to the ministry, but I had known before, God has a way of kind of helping me, because if he had come to me, Brian, and said, I want to be a pastor, I would have laughed too. But God led me to believe that Brian should go into the ministry and be a pastor, but I never told him because I didn't want it to be me trying to have him do that. I wanted it to be the Lord guiding him and not of my own thought. Mm-hmm. So that helped me to know, like, what's the word? Confirm those that, you know, we both agreed. So I don't think it was a mistake, I guess.
I don't think it was a mistake either, because he's got me here. But just to tell you how green I was when I went in, took my first practorium class, by a show of hands, can you tell me who Moses is? By a show of hands. Okay, show of hands. Okay, by a show of hands, can you tell me what the burning bush is with Moses and the burning bush? All right. At that time, I had no clue who Moses was. And a burning bush was what you planted outside, and it was pretty in the fall. It turned red. But the pastor Simpson, the very first day, he's starting to talk about Moses and the burning bush, and he said, but we're not going to talk about him because everybody knows about Moses and the burning bush. That's how green I was. I didn't even know who this man Moses was. No clue. But I was studying to be a pastor, and who cared about my family? I even had men warn me, if you lose your family, you don't have a ministry. I heard that. I listened to that. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing in a godly way. I heard Tori over and over and over again. You're not leading the family. You're not leading the family. You're not doing devotions with them. You're not leading me. I'm like, yes, I am, woman. I tell you what to do all the time. That's when it got real bad. Because Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now you can read this for face value. Husbands, love your wives. I do. She's smoking hot. That was supposed to be funny. I mean, it wasn't, because you're smoking hot. I'm going to come back. Just as Christ also loved the church. Look, I'd take a bullet for her. I would hang on the cross for her in a heartbeat. No doubt, always would. But it was the next part, and gave himself up for her that I wasn't following. I wasn't really listening. Now that brings us to our most recent, what I call the deep abyss, I guess, so to speak. So here I trained for 8 or 9 years to be a pastor. I was always told, you don't become friends with people in your church. It's just you can't do that. You have to be the pastor. That's how I was trained. I know I'm getting some funny faces. You don't become friends with the people in your church. You are to be their pastor. You're supposed to be there for them. You're supposed to counsel them. And you have the answers. So that's what I did. I studied that for 8 or 9 years. I was a pastor in Alto for 8 years. I came here. I tried to do the same thing. And this COVID, I'm not going to blame COVID, but I am. I was meeting with a few couples, and I love them dearly, and I think of them as my kids. But as I was sitting there counseling them, I was seeing where I was deficient in my own marriage, where I wasn't leading Tori and the kids. And here I'm seeing them, and I'm like, oh, my word, why can't you just see this? And I'd be frustrated. And then they leave, and I'm like, why can't you see this? And so in August, I came to Tori and I said, I think we need to leave. I think the Lord is calling us. It's time to move on. And Tori said, no, I don't think God's done with us here. Fine. So I pulled my pants up and I walked along. October came and it got worse. That's when I quit meeting with the couples, because I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't explain this to them, so I'm sorry, you guys. This is the first time you're hearing this. I couldn't sit and counsel them in good conscience because of what I was going through at my own house, because it was just compiling things. So October came, and Tori and I were at each other something fierce. There was no God in our house. I was not allowing it to happen. And it got to the point where we wouldn't even talk to each other face to face. We would text each other through Messenger. Well, you know how well that goes. And I remember at one point I said, you know what, we just need to peacefully split. Just need to call it done and move forward. And then she got Pastor Scott and Monica involved. That did not make me happy. Just going to put that out. They know this. Did not make me happy at all. I'm like, why are you getting somebody else involved? I am a pastor. I know the right answers. And she said, you know there's no peacefully being split. I wanted to leave home missions. I wanted to leave ministry. But I didn't want to leave the church. I'm like, you know what? I'll stay here, but I want to leave home missions. And Pastor Scott wouldn't let me. Would not let me. He's like, well, I don't think that's what the Lord has for you. If I could punch a wall at that time, I would have, and it would have went all the way through. Because I'm like, oh my word, he won't let me quit. I just want to quit. And he won't let me. So once again, I cinched up my pants, and I started marching on. Tori was trying, I could tell. So a week before New Year's, I went to her. I said, Tori, I can tell you're trying. You are. Just the way she talked and her attitude and the way she carried herself. Now listen, she is a small little package. But she's a fiery package. And if she doesn't agree with you, she's going to let you know. I love you. And she didn't agree with me. So I went to her and I said, look, I need to go to Indiana for a week. Because Dave, I talk to him, I talk about him in a funny way at times, but Dave is my guy. You know, I think all of us have a guy, us men have a guy that we can go to, and they can be serious or joke or whatever. Well, Dave's my guy. And I can tell him anything. And he's not going to judge me. He's not going to, well, he's going to make fun of me. But that's the brother-in-law thing.
You deserve it.
I know. I was struggling with a theological issue that if I was taught it, I don't ever remember it because that's not how I believed, and some things were happening here was different. And I'm like, Tori, I need to go to Indiana. I can't do this thing on Zoom. I need to be face-to-face. I need to talk to him and Rob Culver, who's a pastor at Lakeland. And she said, oh, that'd be great. You know, I'll get Alex's school done, and you can take them with you, and they can see the grandparents. All right. She's on board. I'm going. So New Year's Eve morning, I'm making breakfast, and I'm texting my sister. And she's like, who are you texting? I'm like, my sister. She never asked me who I'm texting. Like, my sister? Why? We're making plans for next week. What? You're going next week? Yeah, I'm leaving Sunday after I speak. You never said that. I'm like, yes, I did. And as you can about imagine, Hiroshima went off. So I go out, and I'm working in the barn, putting Aubrey's doorknob on that we got her for Christmas. Pastor Scott's on vacation, so I'm like, smooth sailing. I'm good. Wrong. I'm out there. Guess who pulls in? And I'm like, you got to be kidding. I almost ripped the door off of the hinges when I saw him pull in. Look, I struggle with anger. I'm just going to put that out there, okay? I think I'm a lot better than what I used to be, but as I'm talking about this, I'm about to rip this ledge off of the pulpit. Pastor Scott pulls in. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. She called him again? So he comes out, and he's like, what's it? This is exact words. What's this here? I hear about a surprise trip. My eyeballs about pop out of my head. It's not a surprise. We talked about it. This woman, she does this to me all the time. And about this time, I was about halfway in my abyss. I was clinging. So here we are, and I'm like, oh my word, we talked about this. And I go in, and I give her the most dirtiest look ever. And she's like, what? I said, don't you what me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Look, I'm trying to kind of make this funny, but it was not good. So Aubrey comes out, she goes, Mom canceled the New Year's Eve party. I'm like, oh great, we don't have anything else to do now, she's canceling that. She goes, why'd she do it? I have no idea. So I go in, and I'm like, why'd you cancel it? She says, I'm tired of faking. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm like, faking what? You're the one that called him. And that's where I was at. I spoke that Sunday, and she starts texting me at night. What? And I'm right, I'm like from you and Adam, from each other. She's texting me. I had set up my own account so my jobs that I were working on the side, I could put money in, I could buy tools, do whatever. But she found that account. That's on me. You guys don't have I counseled married couples not to have anything separate, and here I am doing it. She approached me and said, "Why do you have this?" And I got so mad, I said, "Because I'm leaving you." I left that night. And as I left, I will never forget it. Roxy's screaming, Aubrey's crying. And they asked, "Why are you leaving?" And Tori said, "Because he doesn't love you anymore." I was only planning on being gone for that night. Tori wouldn't let me come back home. She's like, "You're not coming home until you have a plan." I'm like, "Well, I can't just live in my car." So I started looking for jobs. Thursday came. She wasn't going to let me come into the house to take a shower. She wasn't going to let me get any clothes. And I'm like, "No, we're not doing this." Now, as I say this, don't look bad on her, because you'll see why here in a little bit. So I got two interviews in Indiana. I went. That's why I left. Friday, I left at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I came and said goodbye to Alex and Roxy, and they bawled their eyes out. I didn't think Alex and I had the best relationship, because he has attachment disorders anyways. He's attached to Tori. That day, I realized how much it meant for me in his life. Aubrey was on her horse. She wouldn't even talk to me. She said a few things, and she left. So I went. I stayed with my sister and brother-in-law, Tanya and Dave. I talked to them about my theological problem. I talked to them about my marriage and my relationship and how I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to have these problems. I'm supposed to help other people. How can I say anything that I'm having problems? That's why I asked Anna and Patrick to sing that song. Because how many times do we say we're fine? How many times do we brush it under the rug? How many times do we actually have a problem and somebody else wants to butt their head in and they don't even know what's going on? Instead of just praying. And yes, that really bothers me when somebody comes up to another person and starts preaching to them and they don't even know the exact thing going on. Just pray for them. So I'm there. And at this time, Tori and I are texting and it's going nowhere. I'm right, you're wrong. We weren't getting anywhere. So finally, Tanya and Dave, like, "You need to write stuff out." Do you know the very first, when I counsel people that are going to get married, the very first time that I'm with them, I ask them to write out their expectations? Tori and I never did that. So we did that. And then we started writing what was wrong and what was good. Friday night, we finally had a good conversation. Well, at that time, Tony and Dave went to South Carolina. I was watching their dogs. I couldn't leave. Tori's like, you need to come home. And we talked about it, and I'm not going to go into everything, because there's 22 years worth of stuff that we had to work through that we never worked through. We brushed it under the rug. I'm a pastor. I don't need help. I got this. So I told her, I said, "I can't come home until Monday because I have their dogs." "Well, call Tanya and see if you can just take them to the kennel." So I called her, and if any of you know my sister, you'll understand when I say this. She's like, "Yeah, but you're paying for it." And if any of you know my wife, she'll be like, "I'm not paying for it." So I called her and said, "Well, I can't come home yet because I'm going to spend $40 for the dogs, for the kennel." Tori goes, "Pay the $40. I'm like, "Who is this woman? What? No way." So I called my sister. I'm like, "Hey, Tori said I could pay." She's like, "You're not paying. We're going to pay for it. Take it over. I already got it set up." So Saturday morning, I took the dogs home. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was heading home. For 14 hours, that song that they sang today played on a loop. 14 hours. And I'm not one to really listen to songs and really hear the words, but that's why I wanted the words on the screen today, for you to actually hear what that song was saying. So I get home, and Tori and I had it figured out that I was going to get home just as the other kids were going to go to church so we could be alone. Insert your laugh. But they were taking forever to leave. I'm like, oh, my word. I'm driving back and forth waiting for them to leave. Like, go! So finally, they left. And they were to the point where they didn't want to be here early because they didn't want to hear all the, well, how's it going? What's going on? Guys, listen. Just pray. If somebody wants to tell you how it's going or what's going on, they'll tell you, Lord willing. Now, if you're really good friends, like I don't listen. I didn't listen to the pastors, by the way. I have really good friends in here. And if they come to me and ask me what's going on, I'm going to tell them because they know who I am. But if we don't know somebody, like if there's a visitor that comes and we don't know them, don't go up to them and start preaching to them. That turns them about face and out the door they go. That's not what Jesus would have done. So they're like, I don't want everybody asking me what's going on and wanting to know the gossip. Just go. You'll be fine. So I get home, and I'm wicked tired. I drove all night long, and I had to stop a lot because I was drinking a lot. But it took forever.
Water. Drinking water.
Yeah, so I was drinking, drinking water. There might have been a monster in there, too.
I'm sure.
But, and it was great because there wasn't a bit of snow until I got to the Vermont border. And then I'm like, do I really want to go? But I got home, and it was like we just got married. It was like we were on our honeymoon. I am not a good reader. I listen to things. I'm not a good typer. That's why I have struggled putting my updates out all the time because it's hard for me to write stuff. Tori realized that. I mean, she knew that before. And do you have that with you?
What?
Your devotional.
It's down there.
Can you reach it out of her little baggie right there?
I can get it.
Come on, tiny. So I was like, I'm like a lot of men. When it's time to do devotionals, I can't do them for myself. I get a message out of them. Thanks, honey. Mm-hmm. You're beautiful, you know. So she had this. It's by Paul David Tripp, and I highly recommend it for a lot of you. If I could afford to get it for every one of you, I would do it. But it's called New Morning Mercies, a daily gospel devotional. One, I really like Paul David Tripp. He's a great pastor. And so we started doing these every morning. But she was reading them. She would read it. I would listen. And Tori's a highlighter, underliner. And so you can kind of tell that, you know. And I knew there was something important when she got her highlighter out. So that was my cue. Oh, I should read that again because she thinks it's important. Now, that's kind of funny, but it's truth. She's my helpmeet. So for 22 years, when I thought she was putting me down and telling me it was dumb or it was a bad idea, parts of it was a very bad idea. But the big part was, she's my helpmeet. She's the one there that's supposed to be helping me. Did you do it perfectly all the time?
No, definitely not.
And I didn't do it perfectly all the time. So here I'm back, and we start doing these, and our expectations. There were expectations that I never saw. Like when we pray, she wants me to hold her hand. Every time we pray. Sweet. Non-sexual touch. Men, do you understand really what non-sexual touch is? I like, true, like, look. This can be sexual touch. Just say it. And the women can sense that. You can move your, well, I won't do it right now. But.
Good thought.
We started listening to a podcast that a good friend of mine, a pastor, Pastor Jonathan Edwards from the Gibsonburg Chapel, Grace Brother Church. He put a whole series on marriage. We started listening to that together. There was another one, Marriage on the Rocks.
But it was Marriage Life Today.
Marriage Life Today, something like that, that explained a male's mind compared to a woman's mind. And y'all know that they're way different.
What?
Yeah. But we didn't talk about a whole lot of stuff that kind of played up to it, but a lot of women, contrary to belief, they're not into the physical side of things. almost every man that I know of is highly into the physical side of things. And some of the younger couples I talk to, the women are like, oh, that'll never happen to me. Yes, it will. I promise you, it will happen. Your life cannot, your marriage cannot be built on a physical marriage. Ours was. It cannot be built on a feel-good kind of a life. Ours was. When we first got married, I loved the internet. And I don't need to go any further. You know what I'm talking about. To where now that we're home, and now the puppies have kind of put a little snags into here and there. And I'm not about to say that we're perfect. We still argue.
Did yesterday.
We did. But you know what's different now when I argue compared to what it was? I get a little bit nervous. And I sit back like, whoa, I don't want to win. I want us both to win. I'm a loud person anyways, I know. It's hard to believe. And so Tori's constantly telling me, stop yelling. I'm like, I'm not yelling. Yes, you are. I'm just speaking loudly. But I do, I yell. I still struggle with anger. I probably always will. I'm not perfect. I look back now and I realize by not being a godly husband and a godly father, what I put my kids through. And the example that they had and the things that they have to deal with in with their spouse. I'm seeing it now with Braden. You know, I pray that Camden, I can teach him some, I can salvage a little bit of that. Same with Aubrey, that I can salvage a little bit of that. So Aubrey realizes what it's like for a man, how a man should treat her. That Camden realizes how he should treat a woman. Because they did not have that as I was growing up.
They were growing up, not you.
I was growing up too, but I meant as they grew up. See, there she is again. Yes, I love you, honey.
Me too.
But there is so much more that has played into all this. I love you guys' prayers. I really appreciate it. The week that I had left, I thought everybody was out to get me. Everybody. I didn't want Tori to let anybody know. I was getting messages from people that I thought knew. I got a message from one of my good friends in Ohio, Mike Vonica. He's a big dude.
He's taller than Brian.
He is. But he's like a twig, though.
He is.
He sends me a picture of my ordination ceremony bulletin. That's all he sent. No words, no nothing. I'm like, great. He knows it now. He's telling me, buck up, you're a pastor. You can't be going through this. Pastor Del Miller from Orville is trying to call. I'm ignoring him. I'm like, great, now he knows. He's going to lecture me. I'm getting all these texts from everybody. Guess what? They didn't have a clue what was going on. Mike Vonica is going through stuff himself. That fell out of his Bible the morning they were praying. And he's like, this was happier times. And that's why I sent it to you. Del Miller was calling to talk to me about COP. Guys, we get so many things in our minds because we think other people are thinking another thing, that we put ourselves in the position, and it's not other people. We have to answer for our decisions ourselves. We have to answer for our actions. So what if somebody's going to church that doesn't act like a believer? That's on them, not on us. So that's kind of where we're at. Do you have anything to add? I knew you weren't going to say much. I knew you were going to be. You're either here for support, honey.
Yes.
She's here for support. do you guys have any questions? Because we were. Yes, Kurt.
Will you ever be able to put my cameras up for me?
Maybe. I love you, Kurt.
Sorry.
Anybody else have another question? I'm sure I could do work for somebody. And that is, I'm glad you actually brought that up. Because our support levels were low. And that was another reason I thought the Lord was telling us to leave. And then Tori got the dogs. And at first I was supportive. But then she got more dogs, and then she put more work into it and more work into it, and it seemed like that's all she was doing, and I hated the dogs. I thought the dogs were ugly, and I wanted nothing to do with them. And then I'm like, she's only doing these dogs to leave me, because you can make, we will make very good money on them. And she's like, I'm doing it to help with support so that you can do your job here, what the Lord has called you to do. I wasn't seeing that. Now I'm back, I see it, and I'm going to cry every time a puppy leaves. She got deposits yesterday on some. I'm like, no, those are my puppies.
I don't want 8 puppies.
Where I keep in one of them, she's my girl. Her name's Francie. Same. Everybody knows his name is Francie. We can't change it now. Aubrey hates that name. Look, she named one of them Waylon. What a dumb name. But she was doing that to help us out, because that's half our salary for a litter of pups. But I wasn't seeing it that way. And the God was providing things over and over again for us, that because I walked away from the Lord for a while and I wasn't asking for help. I mean, Pastor Scott's here, and if you go to him, he'll spend all day with you. Now, listen, this is a joke, but it's truth. He's not the most observant person in the world, all right? Just going to tell you. So, if you're walking around and you're hoping that he'll notice your zipper's down, it ain't happening. He's not going to notice you have 2 different socks on or anything like that. However, if you go to him with a problem, he's going to do whatever he can to help you with it. Now, he can't always explain it for my mind to understand, and I'll have to ask him, like, look, you got to dumb this down. But he does it. I didn't take advantage of what God has given me. Now, it was hard for me the last few weeks to watch Patrick stand up here and do praise and prayer. It was very hard for me. It was hard for me to sit in a chair during service, because for 8 years I stood up here and was the man, so to speak. But Pastor Scott was adamant on, you need to chill. You need to take a break. You need to figure out what God has for you and where he wants you. It got to the point where when I got back, I was offered a job in Indiana. I turned that one down. I thought for sure I was a shoo-in for the other job, and I was going to take that job. I had to do 3 interviews in one day, and I had a good friend who knew the guys who interviewed me, and 2 of them said, oh, yeah, we passed them with flying colors. Well, I was starting to get anxiety because 2 weeks had been by, and I wasn't doing anything. It just kind of felt like a bump on a log. And Tori and I prayed that morning, and I said, Lord, I got to know. What do I do? And because I didn't have an answer, we called a realtor to see what we could get for our house. And that afternoon, I got an email from this company that said that we're going to go a different route. What? That next day or two, the realtor came out, and he told us how much he was going to list our house for, and we kind of laughed. I'm like, no. It was just God was saying, you're staying here. Then we had the ultrasound, and there's 8 pups and not 4 or 5 like normally. God's like, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to serve here. But I was kind of still in limbo. How was I supposed to serve? I'm not going back into couples counseling because that just ain't my thing. And then Matthew 28:19, disciple. What does it look like to be a godly father? What does it look like to be a godly husband? There are 3 other guys that are in this room right now that I love dearly. And they have the same heart that I do. Robert just snuck out, but then Patrick and my brother Dan back there, which when people ask who Dan is, I'm like, he looks just like me. Only I'm cuter.
Yeah, he does have way more hair.
Listen,
that's right.
Aerodynamics. But the neat part, and I'm going way over time here, but I really want to get this part across. How God has kind of opened doors, because you guys are my people. And he's not calling me away from my people. But how do I help my people with what I went through so that they don't go through that? And so I started calling around my other friends, my pastor friends in the country that I have. And hands down, women come to church way more than men. Way more. That's wrong biblically. And so Patrick and Robert and Dan and I, we just recently met, and we're starting a real men's group, not one where you sit down and you watch a video, because those are boring. It's an active one. God has given us all these different things that we can use. You know, Dan has a beautiful property. I have property that I can blow things up on. Patrick's got Jeeps that we can go mudding in. But we need to disciple. We need to be there for the men and show them what it's like to be a godly husband and a godly father. You know, Dan is half my age. Well, not half my age. He's 10 years younger than I am. But he acts half my age. His kids are a lot younger than mine, but I have gleaned more from him in the last 2 weeks than a lot of people. Because Dan strives to live like Christ. Robert strives to serve like Christ. Patrick strives to be a steward like Christ. And my thing is to disciple like Christ. So God put all four of us together to do just that, to where I have a good friend in Michigan who's a pastor who wants all four of us to come speak to his men's group. So what are our plans now? Well, Tori's going to raise puppies, and I'm going to cuddle them. And I'm going to, I kind of feel like I'm a creeper because I set a camera up there so she could be upstairs. But when she's down there, I still watch that camera. Because you know when you're in a certain position. Oh, anyways. I'm laughing. So we're staying here. We don't know how long. I don't know how long. It could be 1 year. It could be 10 years. But the Lord's setting it up where it could be long term. I still pray about having a church in either Florida or Hawaii or something before my kids are out of the house. Because my goal is to have my kids staggered around the country so that when it's vacation time, yeah, I can go stay for free. So I'm thinking Hawaii, Florida, which one of you want to be there? I'm guessing Alex or Roxy, because Aubrey's like, no way, and so is Camden. So we're going to stay here. We're going to focus on men. That's what my ministry is here. Men, but not just in Irisburg Grace Brethren Church. As I study Scripture and I look at it, nowhere does Scripture say only focus on the confines of a wall. And I think that's where we failed. We haven't focused on the church. So that's the big one. And then in those confines of the men's group, it's on a lot of our hearts is to start a new work team. You know, I was privileged to be part of Team Nehemiah in Michigan. And it was amazing because as we were talking Friday, the group of us, they asked, well, how'd you start that? Because we're trying to figure out how to start the men's group. And I'm like, well, we just did it. And it was here. It's amazing the things that have happened out of this church for me. But when we were here, it's when we got a lot of the donations for Team Nehemiah. You know, we got a fridge and a freezer, and we got some money to do some other stuff with it. But to see when we were on those trips, to see the growth of the people that were there, and to see the men who were not believers but knew how to do a trade that taught the other kids, that saw the kids who were believers, the way they responded to them, and just to be that witness. So that's our goal, is for the men's group, which is men of the harvest, because the harvest is plenty, the workers are few. And then the work team is the harvest team. But it's non-denominational, if you will. But the goal is to serve the local church, whatever church we're in. And so, men, I'm just going to forewarn you right now, none of you are safe, believer or non-believer. I will not allow you to go through 22 years of what I just went through, because you weren't trained properly and nobody cared enough to step on your toes. Yes, some of you may be running from God, and maybe some of you already know the truth, but too bad. Get over it. You're not going to do to your spouse what I did to mine. You're not going to do to your kids what I did to mine. It's not too late. So with that being said, we're going to take prayer, praise and prayers now. But at the end, I'm going to ask you guys, if you're struggling with something and maybe you need help, I want you to come forward. And you're going to take a knee, and we're going to pray for you. Because I don't think that's being done anymore. Do you know why I think it's not being done anymore? Because we have too many judgmental people in the local church anymore. And nobody wants them to know what's going on. Well, guess what? That's why I didn't come forward. And look what happened. That's on them. You need to get right with God. So what do you guys have to praise God about?
Change your ways, my God.
Absolutely. Scott? So that's my, I'm not the only one that has this problem asking for help, but I'm really excited about the three men that are helping me with the men's group. And yes, there will be ways for help, but right now we're trying to get that all figured out to ask for that help. I think the biggest thing right now for us is prayer as a family, because I have a lot of, like, I have a creative mind, so to speak. And I think all ideas are good. Tori does not. Like, you know, Kurt asked about cameras, when I'm going to put those up. And I will, because they're at my house. I still have them. However,
for like a year.
Yeah, no, it was not. It's only been a few weeks. Anyways, he has a giant boat sitting at my house. And he's like, I'll sell that to you. And I'm like, huh, the things that I could do. And I told my wife what I could do with that and have it as an Airbnb. And she's like, oh, no, you're not. I haven't said no yet. Yeah, see?
The answer's no, Kurt.
But listen, I wasn't going to use it as an actual boat. But Scott, pray that I still have these ideas, but that I run them by Tori first. So that I don't get back to where I was and just do them. Because I have a lot of land and a lot of barns, and I can put a lot of stuff in those barns and on that land.
And he's a hoarder.
Well, listen, I'm not a hoarder. You just never know what you might need.
Hoarder.
I'm not as bad as Pastor Scott. Exactly. That's a serious, you know, prayer request, because we do have the market, and that's another thing that's going to help with support. And, you know, that was Aubrey's heart. And so I want to not take it from her, but also I want to see it do well and try to teach her as I do it. And I'm not one that can communicate when it comes to those things real well. I have the idea. I know what it needs to take. And I maybe sometimes forget to tell other people, like, hey, why aren't you following me? Because I don't know what you want me to do. So pray for that. What else you got? Mark.
What do you do when someone comes up to you and you say, I believe that? I met too many people for 40 years and they say, I believe it. They don't do nothing about it. What do you say about that?
That's on them. What can you do?
Just it's our, pray for them.
Yeah, just pray for them. It's our job to share the gospel. We can't make them do something. And that's too many years that I tried to do that. Charlotte?
Corbin had his tonsils out on Thursday, and they also got his adenoids, so it went well with his prayers for recovery still, but it's hard with him. Like, he has a machine, and he does have to keep drinking liquids.
Wait, can he not talk that much?
He can talk, he just sounds funny.
Oh, I was going to say, like, praise the Lord, he can't talk that much. Just kidding. Okay. Kurt, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I want to praise God for you and Patrick stopping in the shop this week and Rick's talking to me about it. We're going to be speaking in testimony and not always in church like I should be, and sometimes God's in the background, but coming here today, hearing testimony, God kind of gets me excited about being here tomorrow.
I like seeing you. And, honey, I have a secret. It's Vanessa's fault because she gives me monsters when I go there.
Cut them off.
Look, I'm in front of everybody. She won't hurt me here. Keep them coming. She knows now. We also want to pray for Anita. She's not back there jumping up and down, raising her hand, but I think most of you know that she broke her. Did you break any bones in your foot, or is it just your leg?
Legs.
So she has three bones in her leg that's broke. She's got to see the orthopedic surgeon sometime whenever they call her. I can't believe. I just mind-boggling that they sent her home. That does not happen in the Midwest. If you need surgery, you do it. Unless you're in Braden's case, and he went like 24 hours or something with his. But, you know, I thought that was going to stop him from talking, but it didn't when he broke his jaw. That boy still talked.
She still got here early this morning.
I know. She was here early, and she still made coffee. It's dedication. What else? What else you guys got? Keisha?
And through all this, maybe and Adam have learned a lot as well and made us stop to evaluate our marriage.
We'll keep praying and praise the Lord for that. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that book because we actually talked about that in our discussion Friday. And the only thing that we wish the author would do to that is change it from purple. Because, look, men don't want to carry around a purple book.
All right?
Is there anything else? In the back there, Paula. We will do that. Was there another hand? Floicious. What's up, brother? That's out. Do you know how hard that was for me to hold in? Little Brian's on the way. Jen is like, no. Listen, you. Listen, it could be Brianna.
He tries that with every person that has a baby.
I do. I don't even think my kids are going to do it.
No?
Yes, Jenna.
Not as sick as I was with treatment, so.
We'll do that. We're still proud and excited. Anything else? Okay. Anissa.
I just need some prayer. I'm going to New York with my, my mom's coming to pick me up tonight, and Kai and I are going. A little nervous because it's like first time in a while going to out front, and usually he keeps me from lashing out on my family because they're believers and they love me, so.
Listen, I'm just going to throw this out there. Even if they are believers, family bugs you. But you love them. Anita. Okay. If we don't have anything else, this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to ask you if you're struggling. If you have something that's on your mind, or now listen, if you come forward, this isn't free pray. Well, it's free pray, P-R-A-Y, but not pray, P-R-E-Y. If you come forward, that's how it is. I don't want anybody else coming up to them like, oh, what's going on, what's happening? And I'm just going to be honest, I shouldn't even have to say that. But if you're struggling with something, now's the time to deal with it. Come forward, take a knee. We're going to close in prayer. And you can come forward when I'm praying. It's okay. But it's the first step. And just ask. Don't go to a deep hole that you don't think you're going to get out of. Because it's much easier to be embarrassed or to get help than it is to go to the dark side, so to speak. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you give us in our lives. Lord, we do just pray that you would be with us. Lord, there's so many things on this prayer list. Lord, I thank you for what Tori and I have went through. Lord, it was not good. But Lord, I praise you for Tori, and Lord, just the thing, just how she has stood there, and Lord, it was hard for her, and I left her to take care of the family, take care of the kids, and Lord, to do that on our own. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me here in front of everyone. Lord, to help me be the husband and the father that you've called me to be first and a pastor second. Lord, we pray that you be with Corbin as he heals. Lord, Keisha as she's there for her family. Lord, we just pray that you be with Scott and Paula as they're there with their family, Lord, as they're mourning the loss of Pauline. And Lord, we praise you for yet another pregnancy in our family. But Lord, we know Jenna. We know she's private. Lord, we know she's excited, but I just pray that you would be with her to help her not be as sick, and Lord, for the sicknesses to go away. Lord, to be with Flo to help him be that father and husband that he needs. Same with Trent, Lord, as Anissa's pregnant. Lord, we pray that you be with George's brother and George, who's sick. Lord, we do pray that you be with Anita. Family is everything. Lord, now we turn to the people who are in front of us right now. Lord, who are kneeling. We don't know what their struggle is, Lord. We don't know what's on their hearts or what they're going through or the battle that is ensuing in them. But Lord, they're all our brothers and sisters. And if they want to talk to us, then Lord, I pray that they do. If not, Lord, help us all to know them and pray for them. To be there for them. And to, Lord, to make a true sacrifice for them. For Lord, our life here on earth is minuscule compared to what you've called us to do. So Lord, we might have to take a vacation day to help them. Because that's what it's about. Lord, we may have to postpone a ice skating trip or a ski trip or something to help out a brother and sister who is hurt. Lord, I pray that we would all be there to do that same thing. Lord, to help us be strong, help us look after each other, and to help us grow into you, Lord. Lord, we also pray that as we enter into this meal, this carry-in meal that we're about to have, Lord, that you would be with the fellowship to make it a sweet time. Lord, for us to, for the food to nourish our bodies. Lord, for us also to get closer to one another and to fellowship and just to have a sweet reunion of family. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' great and heavenly name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's eat. After we sing a song, I mean, because I forgot we have a closing song. Yes, Joan. All right, we're going to clear the space. We're going to set up five heavy tables.